We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, friends. Welcome to Pod Maverick After Dark. I'm Kirk Henderson. Today, I am joined by Matt Martinez. We are joining you after the Dallas Mavericks just lost the opening game of their round one playoff series against the Los Angeles Clippers, 109-97. Matt, how you doing?
My feelings are hurt, Kirk.
That's a good description. Like, yeah. This was, you know, we're all so excited.
Yeah.
So excited. And it was a deflating loss. It was a really deflating loss. And, yeah. You know, I kind of got a little bit of my rage out during the recap. I wrote 1,100 words on the recap. I write too much on recaps as is. 1,100 is too much for me. Josh always yells at me when I go past like 650. But man, it was quite the game. Let me just give everybody kind of a brief rundown and then we'll go through it. The Dallas Mavericks started the game badly and proceeded to play pretty horribly for, I don't know, probably like 28 of the 48 minutes of NBA basketball that we watched, where in the first quarter, James Harden got going from three, which was problematic. And I kind of figured he would cool off. The Mavericks were really slow there on offense, with Luka looking a little bit out of it. Kyrie was letting Luka feel his way into the game, so he wasn't exactly, you know, taking control. And then the Clippers just kind of slowly ground the Mavericks down. It was a pretty frustrating first quarter, with the Mavericks ending up, I think it was down, 34-22 after one. And so you're looking at this and you're thinking, okay, all right. You know, the Mavericks, like at that point, the Clippers had hit 6 of 8 from three of those from Harden. The Mavericks were 2 of 9 with Luka going 1 for 5. And that was kind of emblematic of where the game was heading. And then in the second quarter, we witnessed perhaps the greatest abomination of offensive basketball from a team. Oof. I couldn't find historical context as I was writing, but I want to say the broadcast announced it was the worst quarter of offensive basketball in 25 years. That's hard. That's really hard. That's a lot of playoff basketball. They only scored 8 points in the quarter.
8 points.
They got down 22-40 in 90 seconds in because the Russell Westbrook came in and punched him in the mouth. And Kidd calls a timeout at the 10:17 mark. And then, would you believe it or not? Now, I know there are stoppages in play, okay? So people are going to get mad at me for saying this, at least people who are big-time Kidd guys. Kidd didn't call a timeout the rest of the quarter. Would you believe that?
I can't. I think in the little thing that I wrote after the game today, I think I pinpointed a couple other kid moments that made me roll my eyes, but I did not catch that one. That's a good one.
And so it's just the game log thing, and I'm sure Coop or somebody from the Mavericks is going to correct me tomorrow. The kid actually did blah, 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 blah. But I say that in during that 8 minute mark, during that 8 point quarter, one of the things kid has actually been absolutely spectacular about this season is drawing out of timeout plays, stoppage and play. And so following that timeout at the 10:17 mark, Gafford missed a dunk, but got fouled. That was the only thing that was easy ish for the Mavericks the entire quarter. Everyone missed shots. Lively missed he got a putback attempt on the right side. So right underneath, like almost near the block. And he shot it over the rim. It was like a middle school play. I was just like screaming at my television at watching what was happening. It's so hard watching that second quarter. Like I'm going to make Josh do a deep dive on it, or I will ask him to do a deep dive, because it was brutal. The Mavericks going to halftime down a gajillion points. What was it at halftime? It was dark. It was like 56. Yes, 30-56. So you come out, you think it can't get worse than this. James Harden immediately sticks to three because he basically put Derrick Jones Jr. on his butt. And it was, you know, 29-point game at that point. And the Mavericks made a little bit of a run in the third quarter, sort of. Kyrie was, like, incandescent. He was 8-for-8 from the floor.
There was an 11-2 run in the third quarter at one point.
They whittled it down. Every time they whittled it down, the entire game, the Clippers would call a timeout at just the right moment and score immediately. I mean, the Mavericks actually, after that, you know, that Harden three, the Mavericks actually scored in pretty quick succession, 9 points. And following the timeout, the Ty Lue call, the Clippers hit back-to-back threes, which is just like, oh my God. Yeah. And they were like, they weren't lucky threes. They were in the flow of their offense. They were, you know, just really great stuff there. And so the Mavericks worked it down a couple of times, but still entered the fourth quarter down 23 points. Despite Kyrie Irving's best efforts, he played a really good offensive quarter after kind of a slow first half. Luka was still really, really terrible. I'm sorry. You know, it's like it's one of the weirder offensive games we're ever going to see from him. Luka missed 7 2-point shots in this game. Seven. That never happens. And I mean, some of that's Clipper defense, but this is one of the best shot makers in basketball right now. So for him to miss the kind of shots he was making, it's worth pointing out because he was connecting on contested long twos, but he was not connecting on some of the rough and tumble drives and like the post game type shots he's normally just so good at. And so Irving and Luka actually helped work the lead down to 15. The Clippers call another timeout, and they score out of that timeout. And not only did they score out of that timeout, it was a dunk from Paul George, where PJ Washington gets a little lost. Just great play design. It's hard to be like mad at the Mavericks defense in this regard. And then comes down and hits a bananas three-pointer over Washington, which it's, again, hard to be mad at Washington. And at that point, the game was effectively over. The Mavericks worked it down a few more times. Josh Green came into the game and did his, like, Josh Green, like, I'm going to be an energizer battery type player. And really, you know, he pushed the pay. He got some steals. He got to the line twice, hit 4 free throws. But at that point, like, the game was over. So it's, you know, what are we really supposed to do? And so now we're 8 minutes into this podcast, and I feel as if I may be out of things to say because like you said, my feelings are hurt.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to what do you attribute the world's worst start? I mean, is this a team that has effectively had, what, 10 days off? Mm-hmm. Is this a team that came in without the requisite, you know, professional athlete level of focus that is, you just assume every NBA basketball player comes into the game with? Or is this like a true matchup problem that will persist throughout the series?
Well, I mean, I didn't lead with the fact that Zubac just destroyed Gafford and the Mavericks early. And that was one of probably the most surprising things. So the previous series, Zubac was the reason that the Mavericks were actually in the game, because Luka was just taking him. He would ISO him and just sort of play him off the floor. It took Tyronn Lue until game three to even figure that out. And then when he did, that sort of was when it was game over for it was sort of game over for the Mavericks at that point, even though it took seven full games for that series to go the distance. And so that is going to be something that's really worth watching, because for the better part of 2 weeks, I in particular have talked about the Dallas Mavericks rotation being the starting group, who we kind of know what we've seen for the last 20 games: Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, Derek Jones Jr., Gafford, and who am I forgetting? PJ Washington. That's your five.
Right.
And then your bench guys are Lively, Maxey, Exum. And what we saw a lot of tonight, partially due to foul trouble, like PJ got into foul trouble, but also just because of flat out offensive ineptitude, Tim had to come play early.
Yep.
We said Josh got some time. And
how many times have we repeatedly said we want no part of either of those two?
Yeah.
For extended minutes.
Right. And that's not their fault. It's more of a, like, the Mavericks have won basketball by playing a certain way.
Right.
And if you have to change how you play to win, that is really, it calls into question how they've been winning. And you know, we didn't write about this at Mavs Moneyball because I didn't really want to. Like, I don't take joy in beating the shit out of Kidd, for example. I don't. Like, I've been a little frustrated at the whole notion that he deserves a new contract, which, I mean, you know, let's thank goodness we don't have to at least talk about that for a few more games. But right. I've really been wondering which coach was going to have to make the first adjustment. And the first adjustment came from Kidd, because Gafford got his ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
Gafford, like, honestly, like the Mavericks, if you know, I don't like laying fault, like in the comments are kind of aflame at who to blame. I mean, this was a tremendously bad loss for the entire team,
for everybody up and down the roster. Luka was bad, absolutely. Kyrie was bad in long stretches.
Like, did they score points, and did Kyrie get the ball going? Absolutely. There is no questioning that. But if you go watch that first quarter again, Luka and Kyrie were space cadets on offense.
Yep.
Really, truly, like, and granted, that's often been the case during their winning streak towards the end of the year, where both Luka and Kyrie would tighten it up and then they would get it together, which is more or less what happened. It's just the Clippers shot a gajillion percent from three-pointer, and they were in their rotations late, and nobody was scoring on offense, and it kind of became like a cascade of things. So Luka and Kyrie defense is so far down my list of things, because would you believe that the rest of the roster after Luka and Kyrie went 10 for 36 from the floor?
That's so bad. And that's
Washington going 2 or 4 of 10. So that's 6 of 26 for everyone else. 20% from the floor. What are you doing?
Like, it's astounding.
I mean, our guy Xavier at Mavs Moneyball wrote about this, and he was trying not to shit on everyone, but he basically pointed out that all the Mavericks role players shoot 10% better from home. 10% better. And so that's going to stick in my head. And you need guys like Maxey Kleber, who is just terrified of the basketball right now.
I cannot believe the hesitation every time he touches the ball.
Every time. And John Hollinger, formerly of ESPN, I think is at The Athletic now, basically questioned how the Mavericks can play him in this series. And I think there have been long stretches of the season where Maxey's defense has essentially made you not care about his lack of offense.
Mm-hmm.
But if the Clippers are going to – the Clippers just played – they played good defense today. They were daring Luka to be the one-on-one, and Luka wasn't able to. Kyrie did enough, but the Mavericks couldn't get stops. So if you know, Josh and I were talking about this right after All-Star break, where if like the playoff formula to beat Luka and really the Mavericks was to force their best isolation players to play isolation basketball. I mean, how many assists did the Mavericks get as a team today? Let me look this up. The Mavericks only had 14 assists on 31. Well, I mean, that's actually not that bad. Half their, but for a significant portion of the first half, they didn't have any assists. And it's just, it's really difficult to win basketball games if you're not going to make any baskets and if you're not going to make any easy baskets. So,
yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Vlade in the chat says, nobody was contesting a lot of those three, but also the Clippers were still making it when they were contested. Yes, that is they shot, what was their percentage from three here? This is, shot a flat, the 18 of 36 from three.
Plus 18 advantage at the three-point line.
Plus 24. Plus
24.
Yeah. So it's like that's your math difference, but that isn't why the Mavericks lost the game alone. That second quarter was really, really bad. So all right, we're gonna take a break here real quick, and I'm gonna ask all of those of you who are here to go down and hit the like button and consider subscribing to the show. I go after every Mavericks basketball game, sometimes with Josh, sometimes with Matt, a different person over at the Mavs Moneyball website. During these playoff games, we'll also be holding a secondary show where you can come get off your takes and let me know how you felt about that Mavericks game. When Matt and I are done here, we will progress immediately over into that show. So those of you who are watching live, please go ahead and hang around, and we'll talk basketball for at least another hour. I'm going to insert some ads here on the audio stream. So those of you who are listening via podcast, just listen to those as well. And we will be right back.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, there's a lot of ways I think you and I could go from this game. What else is on your mind at the moment?
Is it too early for full-on panic mode? Just given the PTSD and history of it all?
Well, yes. I think it's time to be really irritated, because one thing we didn't even talk about this. Kawhi Leonard was finally ruled out officially, like, earlier today. And when you lose a game when the team doesn't have their best player, even though, yes, they have former MVP James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and they have all-NBA player in Paul George, it's one of those things that's where I get more frustrated than anything else. Because you don't know when Kawhi Leonard could come back. I don't know if Kawhi's going to come back at all, because the medical stuff around him, he keeps it so quiet. Talking about him almost seems pointless. But you lose a game without them, and it just sticks in your craw. Because this felt like the opportunity for the Mavericks to come out and take a series for real. And now they have six games left to win four. That's hard. So in terms of the panic meter, I'm not necessarily high up there. I don't think Luka's going to shoot as poorly as he did again. Yeah. I think that one more player connecting on any of their kajillion shots will do something. I do think that that kid needs to get in their ass a little bit and challenge, you know, challenge their competitive nature. Some things aren't going to go your way. This was a frustrating loss, but there were elements, particularly in the second quarter. So one of the things, you know, obviously we talked a little bit about Kidd. Like the one I think actual thing that's going to stick in my mind about the Jason Kidd element of this was when they didn't use the challenge on the James Harden.
Absolutely.
In the second quarter. Kidd has been astoundingly good at challenges this year, and how they made that one is really beyond me.
Yeah.
It's a turning point in the game. Okay. So you look at that game. So I just want to just kind of zone in on that particular element right there. I'm going to go find it on the play-by-play because this really stuck out to me as I was, because I did the Mavs, the recap over at Mavs Moneyball. So Kidd hits, he hits all, or so the Mavericks were down 16 before that shot even went in. It was not great. The Mavericks were down, let's see,
right,
28-44. So then he hits all three of those. All right. He hits all three of those. And from there on out, the Clippers only scored. This is at the 5:18 mark. The Clippers only scored 8 points the rest of the quarter. Okay. That was a weird thing for me, or I guess 9 points, so 47. And that was over 5 minutes of the game. The Mavericks found some defense. They found some defensive answers. And so that small segment sticks with me. And I think there's going to be things when they go look at the game tape and they say, all right, here's where we need to, beyond just making shots, here's where we need to execute better. I think they will take Luka off James Harden. Harden kind of ate, and that's not, you know, it's again former MVP playing against the hopeful once in future MVP and Luka Doncic. I'm not mad at, I thought Luka's defense was a little slow footed at times. I thought his closeouts were a little weak, but also James Harden pretty friggin' good at basketball. So, you know, what are you gonna do? That's like there's enough here to where I wonder, you know, what the Mavericks, you know, and that's either whether Kawhi comes back or not. There's something here to where I feel
like we've seen this team before. This team in game one had that same sense of frailty about it that we are oh so familiar with from before the trade deadline, from last season, in whatever iteration the Mavs seem to take. We are familiar with this vague sort of lack of will, lack of an ability to impose your advantage on the flow of the game, getting put away early. You know, with the slow start in the first quarter, you're able to talk yourself into, oh, we've seen this before. You know, we can come back from this. And then, you know, all hell breaks loose in the second quarter. But it's just – it gives me a little bit of pause that just that vague sense of weakness appears again.
Well, let's just look at some of the overarching team stats here. The Mavericks only had 8 turnovers, which is really something. Yeah, they lost the assist battle. They could not hit a shot to save their lives. 38% or 39% from the floor, 30% from three. Points in the paint was about even with the Clippers with 36 and Dallas with 32. Second chance points was even with 16 each. Dallas won the fast break points 18-5. The Clippers are going to need to slow down the Mavericks. Throws had to be like the Mavericks shot a lot of free throws. Let's see, what did the Clippers only shot 6? I guess the Mavericks only shot, is that right? 8 free throws? No, that can't be
no
right.
Way.
I don't know. I'm only looking at quarter two. That's why.
33-13.
That's 3 points. So it's, yeah. So 30 Clippers didn't shoot a lot of free throws. So the Mavericks had a lot of chances to kind of get back into this. This was really, you know, there's enough here to where, you know, if they lose game two, I think then your panic meter goes like straight up because the more,
oh my God,
fly to come back. But there's enough here to where I could see, had the Mavericks not had an absolutely devastating quarter two, maybe this game would have been a little bit closer. I don't know. The thing that a little vexed about more than anything is I feel like Kyrie and Luka expended a hell of a lot of energy to never get the game close again.
Right.
I sort of question that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, and I'm wondering, we probably have a fair number of Clippers folks in the chat. Nobody's probably listened to my show before, but I've actually made a point to be pretty fucking respectful to the Clippers because, again, Dallas has not beaten them in a playoff series.
Yeah,
that's right.
Stone cold fact.
I need to point out real quick, shout out to Kevin. Kevin pointed out the kid didn't call timeout again until the fourth quarter with 3:27 left. Thank you so much for that, Kevin. Yeah. And then I think this is Malik's Master says, for the life of me, I don't understand why kid didn't challenge that Harden three-point foul court in the second quarter. What is he doing? That's honestly on his assistants. I mean, he takes the responsibility ultimately as the head coach, but like they're sitting there with iPads. And I'm wondering if it's because it was a kick to the side versus the kick out, if they were a little confused as to whether that was a non-call, or which it might have been. I honestly don't know how the ref, like Ed Malloy was in this game. You never know how that guy's gonna coach a basketball game, but here we are. You have anything else we want to kick off on?
What do you know, what adjustments would you make immediately going into game two?
The old play better button.
that's sort of the
first one for me.
What would you do about the Gafford conundrum, maybe?
Well, apparently Gafford in post-game specifically noted that he played poorly. And so he's got to come out and play better. And you know, Zubac is a heck of a basketball player. I've always thought he would have been a hilariously fun partner for Luka in the pick and roll just because he's got such feet and good hands on the offensive end. I mean, defensively, all centers are kind of at disadvantage with the way ball handlers can take the ball out and shoot the three. But it's you know, just playing better from him. I think that the Mavericks could afford to move, and this goes for everybody. They've got to find ways to not allow the Clippers to bait them into ISO ball. That goes for Luka too. There was a whole lot of ISO ball throughout the game. So Jerome in the chat says Lively needs to start. Lively needs to get the nod to guard Zubac, and I don't think we'll see that. I don't think we'll see that, but I also thought Lively played him a lot better. Just taller, you know, get your hands up, that's the first time that's really happened. So we'll see. Any other adjustments can kind of just come from making some 3-point shots. I think that, you know, it wouldn't shock me if Josh Green earns himself a little bit of an earlier look in some of these games. Just because, I mean, he came in and did nice things. I mean, I'm not a Josh Green guy. I think he gives as much as he takes away, given a long enough leash. But we're also not talking about 20 minutes. We're talking about 4 minutes, 2 to 3 times a game. He did that today. I mean, he came in and just disrupted. I think over a long period, Green gets kind of exposed because he gambles too much. But
right. It
was nice today. This was nice today. I also would really like, I have a really weird suggestion in that I would like to see Dallas Mavericks players get a fucking hand up when other teams are shooting 3-point players.
Good
like,
Lord.
I cannot like all of them do. Who was it? Was it Geff? I don't know. It's a mental thing for me. It's like, you guys are so tall and so big. Yeah, I know you're charging late. Just get a hand up. It's the Luke Kornet thing where it's like he would always do that even though he's 20 feet away and it's distracting. It's weird. Would just love to see it. Love to see it. Okay. All right. I'm going to head over here to my live show. Matt, thank you so much for taking time to hang out with me and talk a little basketball. If anybody else wants to hang out and talk with me, I'm going to be posting the link in the comments and then we can come up here, talk on the stage. And we will talk a little bit more basketball, or you can get your takes off. We have way too many arguments going on in the comments, and I'm going to start banning people unless people clean it up a little bit. All right. I will be right back. Matt, thanks you so much. We will be back here on Tuesday night, to do Josh and I will definitely be doing this then. Otherwise everybody hang out for the live show. Go Mavs.